time now to catch up with John Ralph from the Herald Sun. Good morning, Ralphie.
Hello, boys. And thankfully, we're talking about struggling teams bouncing back and good teams struggling rather than a lot of injuries and suspensions. It's been a bit of a quieter weekend.
There was probably Brody Smith best on ground until halfway through the last quarter in Adelaide's what was a thumping win against Collingwood, bar a late rally by the Magpies. And then he was slung into Varco's knee. Nothing untowards in the tackle by, I think it might have been Taylor Adams. No problems there, just bad luck and some real concerns for Brody on the field. He was placed on a stretcher, of course, all care taken with him, removing his mouth guard to make sure that he could breathe properly. What has been, since he left the ground, the condition of Brody Smith?
Well, thankfully, he's in good condition now. He flew back with the side last night, didn't go to hospital for any type of scans. Now, Phil Walsh is very confident that he's in a good position in terms of his long-term recovery. Now, he says that they will take every precaution with him in terms of playing next week. And I think it's a really good message from a coach. So often you hear them say, oh, we think he'll get up. He said, look, if he is in any doubt, then he won't be played. We've seen Jimmy Bartel not playing today after his latest concussion. And so, look, I think at worst it would be a week. But he's a superstar and they want to treat him with kick gloves. So hopefully he misses a week and then he's back the week after.
Just go through the technical... Hello, John. Sorry, mate. Just go through the technical decision-making on concussion. It's a long ongoing investigation and research and all that sort of thing. We saw Parker play. We saw Bartel correctly not play. It's purely and simply and they are outstanding. The medical profession in our game is outstanding. It still remains the sole duty of the club to clear the player, or is there thoughts that the AFL, you know, mandatory 1 week for proven concussion? And that's the interesting one, proven concussion.
No, it's a very good point. Look, the AFL is very wary of actually having that mandatory week because they believe that maybe in the past players would have hit concussions to ensure that they played the next week. I think we're not at that stage anymore. I think we're at the stage where everyone's very serious about it. Look, I've asked John Brown about it a few times and he says that there's that baseline test you do in the pre-season probably goes for about 40 minutes and he says it's really hard to pass that written concussion test during the week again or to actually succeed in achieving that. But look, Alan Pearce, the Deakin concussion specialist, he says that players are really battling still 10 days on. He still believes there should be a mandatory discussion, a mandatory week off. I think it's a discussion we need to have. I think it's a bad look when players do play the week after, especially players who are concussed as badly as Bartel.
The NRL had a player come back on the field this season that shows that they're at least... from that incident, a fair way behind the AFL. I would have thought the mandatory week was common sense, even though it still remains the responsibility of the clubs. And nobody for a minute suggests that any medicos at any of the 18 AFL clubs would put any of the players under their responsibility at risk. If it's a blanket decision, if you go off for concussion, then stay off for the game and come back not the next game, but the game after, as a minimum. Maybe it's something that the AFL can look at the end of the season because they take it very, very seriously. Let's move on to Ahmed Saad, and he came off also concussed. Copped a blow sort of front onto the face, and that seemed to be less serious than Brody Smith's, but you can never really tell, can you?
No, you can't. Look, it seemed to just to be a backhand flick, wasn't it? I think it was from May, wasn't it? And he came off the ground, looked to be shaken. He was scrutinised by the doctor, and very quickly he took that concussion test. And then of course, he was subbed out. That's why the discussion's really difficult, because he's a chance to potentially play next week and probably would be fine to play. So, given that we've got such little evidence about it, I think that the AFL needs to pour a lot more cash into it. So, you know, so we can get a ruling. Should Saad be able to play and Bartel not? It's a very hard case to adjudicate.
And a good point made by an SMSer, is there good medical science to suggest that a week is going to make much of a difference or any difference at all? But at least the mandatory week would give the medicos more time to assess, and we know that players quickly are in rehab and then training for next week, so it would take them out of that cycle anyhow. Let's move on also to another Gold Coast player, Jared Harbrow, and he was seemingly carrying a pretty serious shoulder injury.
No, that's right. It did sublux, as they colloquially call it. It did dislocate that shoulder. And look, he was in withering form. He collected 20 possessions in the first half and then was subbed out at half-time. And so, look, again, that'll be that discussion we've had a few times this year with the likes of Daisy Thomas and Myers. You know, hopefully a 4 to 6 weeker if it settles down. If it continues to pop out, maybe that's a season. Yeah, you think they would have had an embarrassment of riches off the halfback with McKenzie. Well, he's been dropped their recruit Malcheski and also Kolodziejczyk. But look, they need every informed player they can playing in it, and it seems at this stage, early on, that he'll be in doubt for a few weeks, or he will miss a few weeks.
A couple of Port players look sore, not too serious. Is there any news on Gray or Broadbent?
They should both be fine, according to Ken Hinckley. Now, the one who will miss is Jarman Impey, and look, I know he's probably the 23rd picked player or the 22nd picked player in a lot of people's eyes, but he is that small defender who can lock down on the dangerous small forward. So he has done the hamstring out for 3 or 4 weeks. Gray with that ankle came off but then got back on. Broadbent's struggling with a bit of a hip, but Hinckley says both play next week.
Collingwood are taking weekly blows. Of course, they lost Levi Greenwood pre-season, then Keith and Thomas wait for the B samples, but they very much are in limbo. They lose Sidebottom. And Ben Sinclair, who's been dogged by hamstring injuries, it just prevented him from having a fair run at football in 2014, would have been disconsolate last night because it pinged again.
It did. He was chasing for a ball in the centre wing, and just when he said, look, engage fourth gear, it went on him. He knew immediately. The club is saying 3 weeks. You'd think that at a minimum of four, but when a player can't trust themselves to go, it must be just shattering for their confidence. Sure, as you said last week, you've had everything done, but you know you must feel so, I suppose, reluctant to want to push hard. The positive is that Ben Reid got through all but the last 15 minutes of a VFL game against North Ballarat, and by all accounts was really good. Darcy Moore was excellent, and so you'd think he's not too far away from a debut himself. Yeah, but yeah, that hamstring for Ben Sinclair is going to keep him out for a while.
Any word on how Karnesis went? He must be close to lining up for the Pies.
I'm not sure about that. At least Jesse Watt was excellent in round one. And
he was, you know, good. He presented as well against Adelaide. Jesse Watt's had his critics, but I reckon internally, Buckley would be pretty happy with his start to the season.
Yeah. The problem, I suppose, and you guys are better equipped to talk about this than me, is the forward balance. You know, they want to play for solo forward. They want to play Elliott forward. And then you've got White and Cloak. He's probably a 192 mid-sizer, isn't he, Karnesis? But you've got to reward the guys playing well in the twos because the cupboard's a bit bare from the first 22 being picked.
Now, Carlton, it's, you know, bad luck seems to dog teams that can afford at least, and they're under siege. So for 2 weeks now, they've basically had to go without the impact of a sub, losing players in the opening minutes of a game. And Simon White was so good week one. What's the prognosis on his knee?
No, well, look, we felt like maybe it was a blue from them bringing him into that game, given he only lasted 15 minutes. But after the game, the club's media manager did say that he had popped out that kneecap. And so that's a potentially very serious injury. We've seen with the likes of Creswell, they just pop it in and play on. But a lot of guys do need surgery. So we'll give you the details on that as soon as we find them. Look, I heard you say on Friday night you were worried about Cripps, whether that had just been a tactical decision rather than a sore back. Look, I had exactly the same suspicions, but I don't believe he played yesterday. So we probably have to give Carlton the benefit of the doubt there, but you'd love to see him getting the likes of Holman and Graham and Cripps in at every opportunity, as much as Mulhouse says he wants to keep playing the best side until they can no longer make finals.
Yeah, but they might be in the best side.
No, that's a great point. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I'd love to just...
You know, he's been a wonderful, wonderful player, but probably, you know, the days of using Andrew Carrazzo as the premier tagger is very, very short term. He's one of the most respected players, and I'll acknowledge that. But, you know, the opportunities for Graham, Holman, Cripps,
Buckley.
Where's Buckley?
Well, Buckley had 15 touches in a game against the...
Yeah, but why didn't he have him in the first?
He was one of the bright lights last year. And Mick's such a defensive coach, and so he, you know, we all believe that he should have given Catchy more of a game last year, but... You know, he's got four taggers. He brought Allard in to do a defensive tag job.
On Hearn,
tags, you know, Carrazzo tags.
Kerno
tags. Oh, it is tough, isn't it? That if you're going to play something, if you're going to get beaten by a half-strength West Coast by 10 goals, you might as well play Holman and Graham and Buckley and Cripps when he's available.
I'm pretty sure that's what the Carlton people would like to see.
That's a great point.
I promise you this, if they have to return to Armfield, then Mick Malthouse is at a loss because he clearly, by the end of last season, had become frustrated with not Armfield's effort, but some of the turnovers and mistakes, and he's pretty close to regaining a spot in the team. So obviously it's ever-diminishing circles at the moment at Carlton with some of these young guys not ready to go.
No, you're right. I think he kicked 4 goals from 14 possessions to Armfield. So, look, don't be surprised if he's back in. But if that's a decision that Thursday, do we play Cripps, who had a bit of a bad back and obviously couldn't knock down the door on selection, or Armfield? As you guys say, every Carlton supporter out there would still want him to play Cripps, even if he's out full. He's a bit less on the day. You're playing for the future.
We'll see exactly what Mick Malthouse and the selection committee come up with on Thursday night, and more importantly, what steps out on the field next weekend.
Against?
The Doggies.
No.
I thought, sorry.
The Essendon.
Oh, against Essendon next weekend. Gee. Pardon me, sorry. That's right.
That's going to have some meaning.
Yeah. That will have some meaning. That's right. Well, who better to find form against than Essendon for Carlton? Maybe there's an opportunity. As always, thanks for taking time out from your Sunday
thanks,
morning.
Mate.
And we'll catch up soon, Ralphie.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.